Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And check out this. I gotta move it up here closer so you can hear it better. Let me do this. Microphone over here.
So
we have a bunk bed, Belle.
Yeah.
It's gonna get a lot of use.
I know.
I'm very excited about it. I want to thank our listener Kelly Young in Florida for providing us with the bunk bed, Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And she really went out of her way to get us the bunk bed, Belle. Went to the Hollywood Tower Hotel, which is otherwise known as the Tower of Terror. Not a real hotel, but the
sure.
Tower of Terror at Disney Hollywood Studios, and got it from the gift shop there. She thought it just would really fit the show other than just a bell off of like Amazon or something.
Yeah.
Like that. So a lot of thought there. We really do appreciate that. I know we had a lot of people that did reply to the request for a bell, and I thank you all for saying, hey, I'm going to get you a bell. Kelly just replied first and I said, okay, sure. So, but thank you all for being generous about the bell. I don't want to have everyone send us a bell. We don't need, 20 bells, and I don't want to waste anybody's money on shipping and all that fun stuff. So, Kelly, thank you for that. Now hopefully we have some bunk beds. Is there any bunk beds in today's show? Do you know? We have a lot of calls. So
I don't think there is today. I'm sorry.
Damn it. Although you never know. Maybe it'll appear as an EPP or an EVP. I'm saying EPP instead of EVP. Bunk beds just in the middle of something. And then, oh, hey, we hit the bell. So there you go. I'm excited about that. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, if you're overseas and cannot call in and want to call in and share the story in your own voice. You can always record it on your mobile device and then email it. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com is the way to get your stories to us that way. So lots of ways to share here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's head over to our first caller of the day and get our first ghost story. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Josh from Georgia. I've talked a couple of times before about the masquerade in Atlanta, about some screaming noises my grandparents heard. I got another story from my uncle last weekend. That was pretty crazy, so here it is. This takes place in North Georgia Mountain, Jasper, Georgia, specifically. That's where my mom's mother and stepdad and my two uncles used to live together. In this old yellow house off the side of some highway, pretty cookie cutter style house, probably 50, 60, 70 years old. And at this point, I'm probably, 9, 10, 11 years old. And for, a little layout of the house to kind of help you out with how this is going to go, the front of the house is facing that highway, obviously. And there's a front door, but nobody uses the front door. Everybody comes in the back door, which is completely opposite of the front. And it comes right into the kitchen. So if you come into the back door, the only way to go is straight through the kitchen into the dining room. And then from the dining room, the only way to go is right into the living room. So at this point, you're facing the living room, couch on your left, against the wall where the front door would be. TV's on the other wall. Front door is blocked off. No one uses it. Near the TV, on the kind of across from the front door, is a little hallway. The two bedrooms, it was really dark. I remember there was a massive, like a bed drape in the hallway. It wasn't a small one. It was really large. And it always kind of creeped me out. The hallway always seemed like somebody was kind of watching you. I always rushed through the hallway if I was by myself. But other than that, nothing really happened, you know. Just chalked it up to being, you know, 10 years old. So last weekend, I was at my uncle's house, and, you know, we just kind of got to talking about stuff, a couple drinks or whatever, and got to talking about ghosts. And he proceeds to tell me about his experiences in said house. Now, the very first thing he said that happened to him, and said this happened literally probably a dozen times in the year and a half they lived there, happened while everybody would always, they'd be hanging out in the living room watching TV or playing games. It was Dreamcast at the time, Sega's Dreamcast, before it decided to flop. Keep in mind, the layout of the house, if you're on the couch, you cannot see the only entry into the house, which is the door into the, or out of the kitchen, rather, or into the kitchen if you're coming from the outside. Anyways, he said it would happen all the time, drinking, smoking, a little bit of pot, whatever 20-year-olds do, or even if they weren't, if they were just hanging out, they would hear what sounded like the back door opening and then slamming. You know, it sounded like it didn't open, you know, roughly, but it would slam every time. You could even hear the blind smashing, you know, back against the door after it slammed. And every single time, they'd get up and walk into the kitchen, and the door would still be locked every time. And, you know, he said the first three or four times, they just thought, oh, you know, we were kind of messed up, so, you know, who knows, telling ghost stories, freaking ourselves out. But he said literally it would happen, you know, once every couple of weeks, they'd be sitting there hanging out, and then, you know, not worried about anything, and out of nowhere, bang, door slammed again, nobody's there. Which was creepy, but that's kind of as far as he said it went. He said they'd investigate, and that's whatever happened. Sometimes they go in the kitchen and some things look like they've been moved around, but nothing, you know, no appliances, nothing crazy, no doors opened as far as the cabinet. So, you know, it kind of got to the point where it was just, you know, a regular part of living at this place. Hey, this crazy fucking ghost slamming the door, whatever, we'll deal with it, we'll drink some more beers, it'll be fine. So, move forward, you know, 6 to 8 months, you know, those last 6 to 8 months they lived there, and, yes, kind of happened again here and there, and the usual odd feelings, and you know, feeling somebody's there, but, you know, nothing out of the ordinary other than that. I mean, as ordinary as that is, and this is the very last night that they're at the house. They were, it was my two uncles and one of their friends, and they had stopped by the house to grab the last, you know, the last few boxes or whatever. And I distinctly remember them talking about McDonald's had just released some kind of chicken parmesan sandwich or something. And I distinctly remember them talking about they had gotten a couple of those to try out. You know, they were going to sit down and eat dinner and grab the box. And they were sitting there eating and goofing around, you know, just screwing off, maybe drinking a beer or two or something. I don't know, just doing the usual. And so all of a sudden, everything got kind of eerie. Said that, you know, it sounded like all noise stopped. Couldn't hear anything outside. You couldn't hear anything. It just seemed off. Everything was too still and too quiet. So they kind of stopped talking, and, you know, they're eating, you know, but kind of just eating inside, looking around, and they looked up towards the front door where there were still blinds on the, you know, hanging on the door. It was one of those kind of doors where half the door had, like, the, you know, the four window panes or whatever, when you hang the blinds on the inside. And they looked, and, you know, they looked for a couple seconds. For some reason, they were drawn that direction. And they said the blinds started lifting off the door. And not, you know, not like the wind was blowing or moving the blinds. Like, it was gradually coming slowly from the door, like somebody had held the bottom, was just pulling on it. So they watched it, and literally 5 or 6 seconds, the thing just kept pulling out. And at this point, they're just kind of, you know, jaws dropped, dumbstruck. And then it literally slams so hard, the blinds fall off from the top. They come disconnected and falls onto the ground. So he said that literally it slammed 2.5 seconds later. They smashed through the door. They were out of the house and never went back. Didn't even go get their boxes. My grandpa went and got them the next day. So I have no clue what that was. He said that nothing else ever touched him, nothing ever attacked them. Even he said that felt kind of like an attack, like something was saying, hey, fuck off. But other than that, he never really felt threatened. But I don't know. Who knows what was there? He said there was plenty of scary stuff from, you know, the house he lived in up there and everything. And if I can get him drunk enough to disclose some more, I'll give you guys a call. Appreciate what you guys do. Been listening forever. Been an EPP, I don't know, 8 months now or so. It's kind of easy. You just forget about it. And $5 isn't really anything to help you guys out. So keep up the good work. Hope to hear my story. Bye.
Thank you, Josh, and thank you for doing your part to help keep this thing on the air. That I don't know that I'd even be going back after that. I think I'd be like almost, it'd have to be something very important in those boxes, irreplaceable,
yeah,
to be going back in there. Or you can always, you know, do like a Craigslist. Hey, pay someone $25 to go into this house and get this box. Why won't you just go in and get the box? That's besides the point. $25, you get it, you bring it to me.
Yeah.
Do we have a deal?
That's a good idea.
I mean, I wonder if that ever happens.
You're a normal errand runner.
Yeah. Go to the haunted house and you don't tell anybody it's haunted. You don't have to.
No.
It's what I also thought was interesting there was the lack of sound, or almost like the sucking of the sound out, where they, even outside, you know, inside, outside, and everything seemed the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And then having the paranormal activity obviously followed that up, where it was kind of the precursor to whatever was about to be going on, but they just sensed something was odd. You know, that's one of those things where I wonder how often that is, you know, people will say, it just felt weird. There was an eerie feeling and I couldn't put my finger on it. How often that is the thing that people can't put their finger on? Because it is kind of an odd sense.
The lack of the sound.
Where it's, because it's not something that's standing out as noise.
Sure.
It's the lack thereof. And to not have it for a little while, you could be like, oh, it's just quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go from inside to outside. In almost any environment, in most cases, you're going to be able to tell a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be the same. Whether it just be a little pressure shift, a slight breeze, something. Just the atmosphere in general. And just to have that deadening white noise almost, where it's just silence everywhere, that is weird.
Yeah, and you know, that goes back to our instincts as far as survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time when you have an absence of sound, that's because there's something predatory nearby that has scared everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, hunkered down, being quiet, trying to stay invisible too.
In this case, it's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thank you for that story. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for being an EPP. If you want to be an EPP and help support the show and help keep it on the air, you can sign up to do that on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. You get all those bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Leanne from Texas. My dad is a pastor, and we moved around a lot when I was a kid. We lived in a lot of rent houses and parsonages. And some of them felt kind of creepy, some of them felt okay. In this one house we lived in, it just always felt really creepy. The hall closet was, we just felt like there was something scary in there. We just stuffed a bunch of stuff in it and hardly ever opened the door. I was terrified to go to the bathroom at night. I would wake up one of my sisters to go with me. And I was constantly hearing, like, it, maybe once or twice a week, I would wake up really early, like maybe 6 or 6:30, and I would think I would hear my mom making breakfast, and I was thinking, oh man, pancakes, or who knows what she's making, smells really good, and sounds like she's making breakfast. So I get up, and I go in the kitchen, and no one is up. There's nobody in the kitchen. Nothing's been touched from the night before. So that was kind of creepy, and things would always turn up missing in the house, and we would just be like, oh, we can't find it anywhere. Well, we'll just wait till the ghost gives it back. And sooner or later, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks later, it would show up somewhere totally different where we'd already looked. So that was kind of weird. Then one story that I have, it's not really mine, it's my son's. He was at a friend's house, and they were playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark. And they all had one of those reflective wristbands on, or glow-in-the-dark wristbands, so they could see each other in the dark. I know it doesn't really make sense, but that's what they were playing. And my son was on the swing, and he wasn't really playing. And he was looking around, and he saw this dark figure. It was about the height of a child. He thought it was one of the other kids playing. But he noticed that they didn't have their wristband on, and they were all supposed to keep their wristbands on. Well, this figure was trying to make him think that he was playing, because he, I guess the figure noticed my son watching. And he played for a little bit, and then he just, my son said he just walked through a bench and then through a fence and was gone. So that was pretty creepy. He told everybody that was there, and nobody else had seen the figure. But it kind of scared him, but he's okay. But anyway, that's my story. Y'all have a good day.
I think it was a ghost kid just wanting to try and play a little bit with the real kids.
Probably so.
It sounds fairly innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, I'm going to play the best I can. And then disappear.
Yeah.
Through a bench. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. I was ready to whisper bunk bed at the end of that and then hit the bell, but I decided not to, just in case. I was going to try and also emulate my voice to sound like hers. I'm not even going to attempt.
No.
It would be insulting, probably.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
It's not the intent. It's just, you know.
Just don't do it.
Okay. Bunk bed. There we go. I'm trigger happy on the bell.
Okay.
I am. Okay. Let's go to Sarah. Hi.
Hi. This is Sarah calling from the Ottawa Valley. I've shared a couple stories before. One was about when I worked at a museum. Another one was about sort of a local legend up on Buck Hill near where I live. And another one was about a farmhouse that my friends and I used to break into when we were in high school on our little ghost hunting trips. I didn't hear that one played yet, so maybe I missed it, but I wasn't doing very good with the phone thing, so if I screwed that up and you still want to hear it, just give me a shout-out and I'll call it back in. So I have a real quick story for you. It's actually about my mom, and it's kind of a pleasant story. So right after my parents got married, they went up to Quebec City for their honeymoon, and I guess technically I was there because I was a little bun in the oven, unexpectedly. But obviously I don't recall what happened. But they were walking down the street together in Quebec City. It's a beautiful, beautiful old city. And they were just walking down one of the main streets, and they had kind of stopped. And my dad was, I guess, kind of looking up and looking around for a restaurant or a street sign or something. And my mom was standing beside him, and she sees this man walking through the crowd towards them. And he kind of catches, they lock eyes, and he kind of sees her, and she says that he has a very pleasant face. He walks up, and he's kind of looking back at her, and she's looking at him and smiling, and he walks right up to them, and she says, and the man says to her, "Oh, you two are going to make it. I know it." And he keeps on walking, and she says, "Thank you." And my dad, who didn't completely have his back to the situation, but I guess was just, like I said, sort of looking off the other direction. When my mom said thank you, he kind of looked back at her and said, "Thanks for what?" And she said, "Oh, I just thanked that man. Did you hear what he said?" And he said, "No." And "Who were you talking to?" And so my mom turned around to point at him, and he was gone. And now, obviously, there could be an explanation. I mean, maybe, you know, he just ducked into a corner or hid in the crowd or something like that. But my mom doesn't tell a lot of haunted stories, but she swears that he was some sort of a spirit or ghost. He was just sort of wandering the streets and, I guess, giving her a positive affirmation about her new marriage. So anyways, it's a pleasant story. Thought I'd share it. And thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
It's like a good news ghost.
You know, I kind of thought at first when he said that you guys are going to make it, you're going to be okay,
mm-hmm.
that he was referring to her mom and the baby she didn't know she was carrying at the time.
Okay.
But maybe he was referring to the new marriage, like she said.
Sure.
I don't know. But being pregnant does make you more prone to having things show up because of all the hormones and everything going on.
Mm-hmm. Does it possibly make a ghost show up and say that and then pause for a moment and then suddenly break into "Looks like we made it"? Barry Manilow?
No.
They don't do that when
no.
you're pregnant? I mean, I can see if you're not pregnant, it won't go that far, but if you're pregnant, does it add the added flair?
No, the ones that sing Barry Manilow just go straight to hell.
Hashtag shit Jenny says. The ones that sing. We got to be more specific on that, though, right?
There's already a shit Jenny says out on Twitter.
So what should it be? What should your hashtag be? You can decide your hashtag.
I guess shit Jenny Brewski says.
Okay, shit Jenny Brewski says.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The ones that sing Barry Manilow all go to hell.
Just go straight to hell.
Just go straight to hell. There you go. I like that. I thought this was kind of interesting. There was someone posted this on our Facebook page, and it kind of relates almost to that story where about being a ghost and what you could do. Like, this one just seems to be going around doing good things and saying nice things and uh-huh. being uplifting. This is what I believe Helen shared with us. It's a meme. She found it somewhere else. But if I was a ghost, I would do useful things like let the cat out or take flammable things off the stove and sing to small children when they can't sleep and terrify the fuck out of assholes. Hell yeah, bitches. What was that? Did I hear you make a derogatory remark about a woman? Bam, your lamp is on the floor. What you gonna do, punk? Are you abusing a child? Wambo, the walls are now bleeding, motherfucker. That, that's kind of how I feel. I think that's to be too.
The walls are now bleeding, motherfucker.
That's what I would do. I mean, I'd be all about nice. Everybody thinks I'd be like just the asshole ghost because I talk about, you know, mean, yeah. nefarious things I would do. But it's only to people who have it coming.
Okay.
It wouldn't be just to anyone. That other stuff, yeah, let's be kind and helpful and not burn the house down. And
yeah.
That's good. I'm cool with that. But yeah, the other stuff, yeah, bleeding walls. That'd be like my signature. And the thing is, you wouldn't get recognition for all the good stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, somehow the stove just shut off, you know. Nobody would be like, oh, the ghost did it.
Sure.
You only get recognized as the ghost if it's like really horrible Amityville type stuff. Makes you wonder, like, with the Amityville case or something like that, was it really a good ghost who's been doing a lot of good things, but they were just, you know, really were pissed off at that family for some reason?
No.
you know?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine. I don't know. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to make any requests or dedications, I'd be happy to sing them for you as well.
Nobody's going to call in on that.
What a bet.
I get the call.
Just write in.
Nobody's going to call in on that.
In other words, it will be screened out.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Jenny. My name's Jared. This is my first time calling in, but I've been a long-time listener, and I'm also an EPP. And I've always had a fascination with the paranormal for many years. I think ever since maybe I was about 5 or 6 years old, to be truthful. But I'd like to tell you a couple short stories of mine. This is some stuff that I've had happen to me. Honestly, the first one involves me, but the second one is one that has to do with me, but was told to be by my grandfather and happened to me when I was 10. So, anyways, the first story is of my first ever paranormal investigation, and I don't remember exactly how old I was at the time. I think I might have been 7 or 8 years old, but I lived in a small town. I live in a small town in Ohio. And my mother is pretty much what got me into the paranormal in the first place. And her and I, one year, decided to take a trip down to southern Ohio to the Moundsville Cemetery, which is located near the famous Moundsville Penitentiary. And while I was there, I decided I wanted to see if I could capture anything on a voice recorder. So I took an old-school style miniature tape deck voice recorder with me and wanted to conduct my own investigation. Now, I wish I still had this recording, but over the years, the tape got lost, and when I refound it, it was all chewed up and torn up by mice. Anyways, on the recording, the very first thing that had occurred to me was, as I was talking, my voice is drowned out by a couple of what sounds like little children laughing. Possibly it could have been residual, or they may have been laughing at me for what I was doing since I was a little kid at the time. Then there was an incident later on that day where I was talking about a gravestone I had seen that looked like the Washington Monument, and I was trying to get my mom's attention to point out about how it looked. And after I got her attention, her and I were talking, and when we paused for a second just to observe the graves, you could hear a deep masculine voice say what into response of what I was trying to get my mom's attention for. So that kind of creeped us out a little bit. Last thing I got there was went off by myself to look at a couple of the mausoleums in the cemetery. And while I was looking at one of them, I had mentioned about how sad it was that the people that were buried there had died overseas and never got to see their families ever again. And right after I had said that, a young man's voice had shown up very faintly on my recorder that said, "It's okay." So that was kind of neat. One of the coolest parts of that day, though, and this is what stuck with me ever since that day, was in the center of the cemetery, there is a huge mound, which is where it gets its name from, as Moundsville Cemetery. But on the mound, there was a time capsule, and my mother and I climbed to the top of this mound to observe this time capsule. And during that time, on my recorder, you could hear a dog barking in the background. Now, originally, I had wrote it off because I was in a small community and it could have been any dog anywhere. But the reason to me that sticks out as possibly paranormal is for the rest of the day, everywhere we went afterwards, as long as the windows in our vehicle were up, you could smell dog crap inside the vehicle. But whenever the windows were down, it'd be fine. But whenever we put them back up, the smell would come back. And I figured, okay, maybe we stepped in dog crap or something on our way out of the cemetery, because I figured probably people walk their dogs through the park all the time. And we'd searched the entire car, the bottoms of our shoes, our clothes, everywhere, and we could find no traces of dog crap anywhere. And I know that some spirits can leave signs of their presence by smells and odors and sounds, different things that are related to them in life. And while I've never heard this applied to spirit animals before, I think it's quite possible that possibly the spirit of a dog had followed us around that day. Because I remember, before I got into my car, as I was leaving the cemetery, I had dumbly said aloud, "If any kind spirits wish to follow us, feel free to join us," which was, now that I'm older and have a better understanding of the paranormal, it was kind of a stupid thing to do, but I was about 7 or 8, so I didn't really know any better. So I thought that was kind of cool. I'm not sure whether or not to this day that was paranormal, but it's kind of one of those experiences that stuck with me all this time. The second short story I have involves my grandfather, and while this didn't personally happen to me, the story I've never forgotten because I feel he either may have come into contact with a being of light or an angel or possibly just a good spirit. But in my teenage years, I was kind of a problem child, and I'd always get into random arguments with my grandparents because I had grown up with them for a good portion of my life and spent most of my time with them. And my grandfather and grandmother are very religious people, and they would constantly, day after day, pray for me to have a safe day and to have a good life. And my grandfather recounted to me one night after we got into a really bad argument that he had awoken from his sleep about 2 or 3 days prior to this argument to a person standing in the doorway to his bedroom. And while he couldn't make out the features of this person, he said it was like a black silhouette of a person with a bright light shining around them. And this being had told him to not worry about me, that everything was going to be fine, that I was going to have a good life, and that I would grow up to be a decent person. And while I haven't seen much of that as far as I've noticed in my life so far, that's always something, another thing that I've always remembered from my childhood that's always stuck out to me. I have a lot of other stories that I could tell. Most of them involve people that I knew in life that had passed away and friends that have recounted stories to me. But I know that there's a very short window to tell stories on the phone service, so I might either write those in or call those in individually sometime in the future. I'm not used to really calling into places, so I hope that this wasn't too bad of a quality of a call. But I like what you guys do. I think it's a great thing that you guys have a show where people can call and write in and share their experiences and have sort of their own little community that all have similar beliefs and ideas on what these beings and spirits and creatures can be. I would like to see this continue great to the future, and I wish you both a wonderful and happy life.
Thank you, Jared.
That was awesome.
And what do you think? Do you think it was a ghost dog?
I think I'm going to start saying next time I step in a pile of bear shit, I'm going to say it's the spirit of a dog following me around.
And she's referring to our pet dog named Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our dog is named Bear. Mm-hmm. I know it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't discount what he's saying.
Sure.
But that would be a new one.
I don't discount what he's saying at all. I believe that's what happened. But oftentimes when you have a disgusting, putrid smell or something following you around, and you just happen to invite the ghosts to follow you around, it's usually not a good thing. I mean, the fact that nothing really bad happened, that's good. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I guess there's the possibility there of a dog following you around. But more times than not, the dark, disgusting smells, not usually something good.
No.
So, I don't know. I suppose as a kid, if that's what you're thinking and going through your mind, it's probably the better of the two thoughts to process.
It is.
But as an adult looking back on it, I don't know. I'd be questioning that a little bit.
Well, and I would hope that any other kids that may be listening would not invite spirits to follow them home.
Yeah, not usually a good idea.
No.
That can end badly. And if you don't believe us, just listen to some other episodes and you can find plenty of examples of why that's not a good idea.
No.
Do-do-do-do. The more you know.
Nobody remembers that.
Yes, they do. Anyone who watched NBC in the 90s remembers that.
Okay.
You didn't watch?
Not much, no.
Anyway. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, my name is Savannah. I live in North Carolina, and I actually just heard about your podcast and everything, and I listened to it at work, and as a younger kid, I've always had experiences with spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call it, but I guess growing up with it, I got used to it, and I never really got scared. Honestly, it interested me. I was always curious about it. And a few days ago, last weekend, I went to Stonewall Jackson Youth Development Center, which is an abandoned, I want to say abandoned, it's still owned, but people go on there and the building's there and it's really old and they look like abandoned houses or cottages, whatever you want to call it. And, well, I went with my cousin and, he's really afraid of anything scary. He didn't want anything to deal with it. And I was like, come on. I was really excited. And honestly, I didn't really think anything was going to happen. I mean, it was in broad daylight. And usually when I experience stuff, it's really not in daylight. I've always experienced it when I'm dark, when it's like dark and it's alone or I'm alone. And, we went and I only went because I saw on a link that it was one of the top 10 places in North Carolina that were considered haunted. Well, as soon as we got there, we went to the main part, which was this huge building. It had columns. It was huge. It looked like the main hall, or I honestly thought it was like a piano, like music house or whatever, because there was like 4 pianos in there, but they were all knocked down. They were actually, the pews were all thrown. The chairs were thrown. It was old. The pianos were broken. I mean, they still played, but they were in horrible condition. And as soon as we got there, he was really scared. He's like, I don't want to go in because it was really dark inside. And with all the broken windows and everything, you wouldn't really expect it to be that dark. And we went in and we were only in there. We didn't even really go in. We just stepped in and I was talking to him, telling him, come on, nothing's going to happen. It's cool, because I find like in abandoned places or old places, anything old or like antique stores, or I enjoy that. And being a 7-year photographer, I really enjoy that. I love capturing things that used to be or used to mean something to people or used to be something. And he was like, we stood quiet for a minute because I was waiting for him to come in, and you start hearing voices. And I didn't know we actually walked out and went to go see if there were people around, and we didn't know what it really said or anything, but he did not want to go back in there. Well, when I do photography, I also do vlogs, and just so I know where I'm going, and if anything does happen, I capture it. Well, he was running off ahead of me, and I was just vlogging, walking slowly, making sure I get all like the cottages and all the, like, there's like several cottages, and it was really interesting. There was this one called Daughter's Cottage, and it looked like it's been tried to be burned down. And we went inside of it, and I went inside of it. He didn't want to come in, but there was actually a satanic pentagon. I mean, you could tell there were teenagers there and they were just trying to scare you because they made spray paint try to look like blood. I mean, that's why I felt like maybe it's really nothing. Well, when we got out of it and he walked ahead of me and I was videotaping the house, like saying like, yeah, this is another one of the cottage. And I actually got audio of it. And after I got done talking, I was zooming in, looking at like all the windows and everything. You heard this huge bang, and then you heard like a female yell, oh shit. And that, I know no one was in the house. No one was even on the property at the time, because we got there and we were the only car there. Nothing was there. I mean, no one was there. And it was scary at first to me. Like, being someone who doesn't really get scared of that, it scared me. Like, I have the video of it, and I stopped recording immediately. Like, I mean, you could tell something happened. We sat there, and because my cousin was like, maybe someone's in there and they got hurt, so we should either go in there and go see if they're okay or wait out here, see if someone comes out. We sat there for a good 45 minutes, and I was getting tired of just standing there waiting, and I wanted to go around and look before it actually got dark to see anything. And no one came out. And it was kind of scary, and he was mentioning, like, you know, they do say ghosts try to lure you into places, making it sound like there's other people in there. And I personally do not know if that is true. So I was just like, okay, yeah, maybe, but I didn't think much of it. Of course, I wasn't fooled. And him just didn't want to go into places, and I took a few pictures. I actually went upstairs to one. No experiences in one of the houses, so we went all the way to the attic in, but, I mean, it was kind of creepy. I mean, it was just, it made you feel uncomfortable. There was obviously some sort of energy in there, and when we went up and up, it felt like you really couldn't breathe. It was just one of those houses where you just needed to get out. I don't really know how to explain it. I'm sure you or someone that has told a recent story has explained it better, but it was some sort of energy, and he and I both felt it, and we left the house. Well, we were sitting down on the steps, and it was kind of getting dark, so I was like, well, let's just head back. Now, before we got on my car, my lights were off, my windows were rolled up, my doors were locked. I am very cautious about that, because being locked out of my car a ton of times with the lights on, my car be dead or anything. Speaking of dead, our phones were about 80%, and when we left, they were dead. Our phones were not turning on. Usually my phone would turn on for like a few seconds, and it would even say 0%, and then it would turn off. But my phone didn't even do that this time, which got to my car, and we had a drink. We had two drinks in the front. His side was fine and everything, but my drink was tipped over perfectly on my bag that I keep my camera stuff in. And I was like, was it like that when we got out? And he was like, no. And I made sure I got everything. I was prepared. And speaking with my bags in the car, I would definitely lock it, which it was locked. But my lights were on, and that's what scared me, because I didn't know how long my lights have been on. So I thought my car was not going to start. And with my car not starting and no one being there and our phones dead, it was not going to be a good situation. But my car turned on, and it was really creepy. That's when I actually knew something was there. And that wasn't the most scary experience I've had with ghosts or spirits or the supernatural. But it was definitely, something was not right. And I don't know if I would call it, you know, supernatural, or if I would just call it, maybe it was just there. But with a loud bang and someone yelling, oh shit, after the loud bang, and then my car ending up like that, and then the voices and just the uncomfortable energy you had in that one place that we actually went in, it wasn't normal, because I had been there before to take family pictures, and I remember going to go take my family pictures, and I still felt uncomfortable there. And honestly, I want to go back, and I kind of want to go back during the night and try to see if things are there. But I feel like the things that were there, or if they were there, did not want me there. I have a lot of stories and a lot of experiences that I have obviously experienced, but that's just the most recent one that happened this past weekend. And after listening to all the stories you told and all the people, I was like, well, that sounds very familiar to mine, and it was nice. And I have actually a question. From hearing my story, would you consider that like supernatural? Would you consider that a spirit or ghost not like wanting me there, or was it just, I'm not sure, because the experiences I experienced were plain and clear to me that it was something and that it didn't want me there. But this one, it just confused me. But so far, I love your podcast. It keeps me busy at work, and it makes the day go by fast. And actually, I don't want to stop listening, even though I'm off work now. And I've always been into paranormal stuff, and that's always been me when I was a little girl. I was always a fan of that. I will definitely be sending in more of my experiences later on when I have time. But thank you for just entertaining me during work and just, like, using my story if you use it. but I will definitely be listening to you guys again, and just thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.
Paranormal or not paranormal?
I'm leaning towards paranormal.
Yeah, why?
When the battery is sucked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it's hard to say, oh, well, it's just a malfunction.
Yeah, that's not a normal thing that happens in most devices, if you will. And also, I think, you know, she's someone who has experienced paranormal things, and if your gut's kind of telling you there's something not right here,
mm-hmm.
I'd go with the gut.
Yeah.
Even more than the batteries. You know, batteries are a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just she kind of knows, like, deep down, I think, that, yeah, there's something here. But I think there's the other side of her that's kind of trying to reason it out. Like, maybe not.
Right.
I'm going to go with, yeah, there's probably something there.
I think so.
So I think trust your instincts, especially since she has a reference point to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the first time this has ever happened. I don't know. It's like, okay, no, you got some references as far as how that feels, what that's like, and what goes on with it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Trust your instincts when it comes to that stuff. So thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing your story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. No bunk beds other than...
No.
Other than me whispering it a couple times.
Sorry.
It'll happen soon.
Yeah, it will.
It will happen soon. You have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It will. People are just going to start calling in bunk bed stories now. If you have a bunk bed story, we want to hear it. So we'll have a whole story all about bunk beds, or show about bunk beds. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you've heard people talk about it being an EPP, supporting the show. It's only $5 a month. That is indeed what keeps this thing on the air. It covers our cost of distributing the show, the hosting, the web hosting of the show, the bandwidth, all of this stuff that goes into putting this thing together. It costs money, believe it or not, and we'd like to continue doing it for you. So if you like it, please be part of the community, chip in a little bit. $5 a month gets you all those bonus episodes, plus brand new one every single week, all the exclusive video content and more. Keep trying to find more stuff to add to the EPP list. So check it out. Ghostpodcast.com is our EPP website. You can sign up right there and enjoy. So there you go. Please help keep our thing on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.